ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
This morning, when you took a shower or flushed the toilet, you probably were not thinking about the journey your wastewater would take on its way to the sewage treatment plant. Out of sight, out of mind. But researchers at UW-Milwaukee's School of Freshwater Science have been looking inside those sewer pipes, and they've discovered there's a unique ecosystem of microbes living there. And those microbes may be contributing to an environment resistant to antibiotics. It's a public health issue we should all be concerned with. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to talk about the strange world of living organisms in the pipes that carry our wastewater, and yes, the pipes that carry our drinking water. Joining us in the studio are Ryan Newton, assistant professor, and Val Klump, professor and dean of UWM's School of Freshwater Sciences. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to have you on today's program. I see we have water in front of us to wet our whistle, but we're talking about where that water goes afterwards. Ryan, it sounds a little bit like a weird science fiction movie to think about life inside the pipes beneath the streets.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not quite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but a little bit like that, I guess, with different kinds of organisms, the small life, bacteria, archaea, single-celled organisms living in these pipes. It's quite a journey for me. It's been a fascinating sort of look. I had never thought about the conveyance system, the pipes themselves, as a habitat for microorganisms. But the more we look, the more we find out that this system is a complete ecosystem. It's something that we built, and it's been colonized by microorganisms. And now they have their own sort of habitat and ecosystem that they've created. They show seasonal cycles. They show patterns in diversity that other places show, like an ocean or grassland with animals, birds, butterflies, same sort of patterns in the pipes themselves. So these organisms are living there, thriving there, and doing stuff that we don't really understand.
You know, that really surprises me because when I think about the sewers, I think of water's constantly flowing through, waste is constantly moving along. You would consider the possibility of nothing really living, having time to grow there because there's always something awash around it, but that is not the case.
Yeah, no, I kind of thought the same thing. I mean, we got into this, Dr. Sandra McCullen and myself, a few years ago, looking for tracers of fecal pollution. So where would be a great place to look for new ways to track fecal pollution? Go to the source, which would be the sewer system itself. And so we were actually looking for the organisms that, you know, we shed in our feces to try to develop new fecal pollution markers. But as it turned out, those organisms only made up 10 to 20% of the total bacteria that we were finding in the system. And that really surprised us. We thought they would be a much higher percentage because, as you said, we're washing or wasting out a lot of material from ourselves that goes into the pipes and would be just carried straight through, or so we thought. But it turned out that that wasn't really the case. We saw all these organisms that we didn't really know where they were coming from. They were groups of organisms that are found in other places, but they're not found together. And so we started looking into it more, and it really seems that they are thriving and growing in these pipes. And that was just, it was completely unexpected to us.
Ryan, we're going to talk more about some of the risks of those microbes that are growing inside the sewer pipes. But I'd like to bring Val into the conversation because Val, as dean of the School of Freshwater Sciences, the only school of its kind here in the United States, this is the type of research that really isn't being done anywhere else, is it?
That's correct. The work that Ryan and Sandra are doing is really novel because no one's actually ever looked at this ecosystem. And if you think about it, it hadn't been around that long. I mean, sewer systems, as Ryan said, are something that we have built. It's not like it's been around for 10,000 years like the Great Lakes. This is a relatively, in the grand scheme of things, a relatively new ecosystem. And how organisms have evolved in that is a phenomenon of modern urban life.
And you have been for a number of years studying the other pipes that carry water, the water into our homes. You've done a lot of research on the condition or quality of the water that we actually consume before it becomes waste.
Yeah. So, well, as I always tell people, you know, the human body is made up of 70% water. So if you live around here and you drink Milwaukee tap water, you're more Lake Michigan than you are anything else. And so the quality of the water in Lake Michigan is critically important to our health and everything else. And the water system and the pipes underground is something that people don't see. And if you could sort of scratch away the overlying soil and dirt and streets and everything, it's really complicated. And we don't know too much about it. So there's been a variety of kinds of research done. One of them is like, well, how old is the water in the pipes when it gets to your house? Because it takes a certain time, and it turns out one of our scientists, Jim Waples, has developed a really novel method for determining the age of water when it comes out of the tap. And it has to do with the disequilibrium between a radionuclide, which exists in Lake Michigan, that resulted from weapons testing back in the 60s, strontium-90, and a daughter. And he can determine that, for example, at the lab, it's about 19 hours old. And he goes, well, how important is that? Well, because water has to be, we put disinfectants in the water and they have a finite lifetime. It's important to know how long it takes to actually get to the tap. So that water is still, you know, potable. And so he's developed this technique, kind of interesting.
That's something really good to keep in mind, because I don't know how often I've walked up to a drinking fountain. Oops, I mean a bubbler. We're in Milwaukee. And I start pushing it, and I think to myself, gee, I wonder when was the last time somebody came and took a drink here, and Is that water fresh or not? It's possible that in some cases water may be sitting in a pipe ready to be tapped out, but it might be there for days, even weeks or months.
Yeah, I've had the same thought, actually, when you walk up to a drinking fountain that hasn't been used in a while. So that's an important issue. And, of course, the integrity of the drinking water system is important, too. It's estimated that nationally we lose about 10% of all drinking water because of leaks in pipes. And so there's a lot of effort putting in to make sure we have a sound drinking water system. And a lot of these systems, the drinking water, the sewer systems here in Milwaukee are, in some cases, 100 years old. They've even dug up sewer systems which were made out of wood, you know. And so this infrastructure, it's estimated that, you know, to deal with this infrastructure and repair it and maintain it is a $1 trillion type of problem, you know, globally.
So it's not just a matter of being concerned with the microbes, the bacteria, the organisms that you might find within those pipes, but the integrity of the system itself, In some cases, as you point out, is so old that it's failing us.
Yeah. And people who have been around for a while remember in 1994 when we had the whole cryptosporidium outbreak, which is when a sort of convolution of events occurred that resulted in very turbid water getting into the Milwaukee sewer system or into the drinking water system. And some 500,000 people got ill as a result of the cryptosporidium outbreak.
Yeah, and sadly, a number of people actually died as a result.
People who had compromised immune systems, et cetera, who had other stresses, you know, there were actual fatalities. And so as a result of that, we monitor now in Milwaukee the drinking water and treat it with ozone and other things. And I would venture to say we probably have one of the safest drinking water systems in the world as a result of that unfortunate incident. On the other hand, we're not immune to other problems. And, of course, you know, if you've read anything in the news recently, you recognize the fact that we have issues with lead. And that's an infrastructure issue, too, because these are old pipes and old systems that they used lead, and so that's a major health problem.
And it's not just a matter of replacing the pipes that the city installs in the base of the street or underneath the streets, but it's those laterals that run from the city feeder into the house. That really is where the lead pipe issue is significant.
It's a serious problem, and it's one that we need to address. It's not going to be cheap, but on the other hand, the risk that we run children and human health is something we just got to face, and I think we have to pay for it. So it's something we need to do.
Ryan, I want to ask you again about these microbes that you've discovered living inside the sewer pipes. And as I was doing research for the program, I was fascinated to read in your materials that that the type of microbes, and particularly the volume of these microbes, are unlike what you would find anywhere else. There really is some unique populations of living things that have discovered the sewers are a pretty nifty place, and in fact, they're sort of taking over the sewers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the organisms that are there, like I kind of talked about before, they don't occur together elsewhere in nature. So it's this unique community of organisms that never existed before until we built these systems. And then when we started looking, we looked across 71 cities in the United States, and it turns out that every city in the United States has these same sort of organisms. So it's not like Milwaukee's different than somewhere else. We all have this community that is established in the pipes, and that's a consistent community across places. So that means that it's really a reproducible effect, and this system selects for those organisms in whatever way. And we don't understand why or how these organisms got there or why they're there exactly. But there's the number of interesting organisms in the pipes, including some that are potential emerging pathogens. Arcobacter is a genus of organisms that has received attention recently because of its potential. There's several pathogens in that group. There's another group, Acinetobacter, which has a member who has received a lot of attention worldwide because of its antibiotic resistance capabilities. These are all things that we are just starting to think about in the sewer systems. And it was really fascinating to sort of understand that it's not that Milwaukee is a unique place, but it's this is a phenomenon that's across the U.S. And now we've expanded our work more globally, looking at Australia and Europe. So anywhere that has sort of modern, westernized pipe infrastructure has these sets of organisms.
Ryan, if I were a listener right now, I would be thinking, holy cow, what if these things get out? Well, they do get out in a sense that that the waste is constantly flowing from the pipes in our home all the way down to the sewage treatment plant. What happens to the microbes when they get to this treatment plant? Are they compromised? Are they killed before the water is ultimately put back in the lake?
There's so many interesting questions there. So a good proportion of the organisms, as they reach the treatment plant, are killed off in some ways, mainly because the treatment plant itself uses microbiology to treat the waste. And so the way they organize their setup helps to, sort of grow up certain microorganisms that remediate that waste, get rid of nitrogen and phosphorus, and help to sediment out some of the heavier solid waste materials. So there's its own unique set of organisms in the wastewater treatment plant itself. So the community that's coming in meets those organisms in this new environment that's not as favorable for them. So many of them do die off. Some of them are part of that wastewater treatment process, probably originally seeded by the sewer system itself. And many of each types of those do make it all the way through the treatment process and go out in the effluent. Now, the treatment processes reduce the microbial load coming in by several orders of magnitude. So, reducing thousands of times the number of microorganisms that were in the original sewer to what gets disseminated back into the lake. But there still are a significant number of microorganisms that go out in that effluent.
And that's a real concern, especially if you're, as you suggest, if we're discovering that there are new microbes, ones that could cause perhaps some serious harm. If those are for the first time entering the environment, getting into the lake, who knows what might follow, right?
Right. We really don't have a good handle on that. And so Lake Michigan, I would say, is one of the harshest environments on the planet in some ways for organisms that aren't adapted to live there to survive because it has such low nutrients and is very cold and so on. But it doesn't mean that these organisms that are coming out don't get into sediments and other places in the nearshore environment and could thrive there. We really have no good handle on that. And associated with that, each one of these organisms contains a whole myriad of genes. Many of those genes are sort of genetic capabilities that might not already exist in that environment. Bacteria like to swap genes in some cases, and so and this is one way that antibiotic resistance spreads. Genes from the organisms coming from the sewers can be disseminated and transferred to other organisms that are adapted to live in places like Lake Michigan.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio are Ryan Newton, an assistant professor at UWM School of Freshwater Sciences, and Val Klump, who's both a professor and the dean of the school. And we're talking about fascinating topic of the microbes that are growing inside our sewage pipes, and yes, even perhaps inside the pipes that carry water from the treatment plant into our homes to be consumed. Val, you talked about the challenges that we face in an older community with the infrastructure beginning to break down. I mean, it's pipes are old. We have 100-year-old water mains that are still working in the city. That whole issue of when pipes do break, people, you know, we wait for the repair crew to come and we think, okay, it's all set. But anytime that you have a break in that system, it's possible that you're introducing contaminants into the drinking water itself, right?
Yeah. So you'll notice that when they do make a repair, once the repair is completed, they will flush the line. They'll open a fire hydrant downstream, and they will flush it for a long period of time. And sometimes they may even put in disinfectants. And so they're pretty careful about that aspect and also the system is, because it's under pressure, they can flush it before they turn on the tap in your home. So, I don't think that's a major concern. It is true that a lot of this infrastructure, especially on the sewer side, and not just the sanitary sewers, but the storm sewers, are very old. And they were also designed at a day in which the climate was different. You know, the long-term trend in the Great Lakes region has been for warmer and wetter conditions. And we used to, one way hydrologists describe rainstorms is like a 20-year storm or a 100-year storm. And the idea there is that it's an extreme event would come only statistically once every 100 years. Well, that has changed. And we're getting statistically now the 100-year storm, if you will, is coming more like every 5 or 10 years. In some cases, we've had 100-year storms and back-to-back in the same year. And of course, our stormwater infrastructure was designed under those previous climate. And so some of it is now being overwhelmed because it wasn't designed to handle the sort of the new normal, if you will.
Yeah. Ryan, as you think about those microbes, those colonies of microbes growing inside the sewer pipes, are there new microbes coming into existence? You know, you said that we haven't seen some of these before. Have they always been around, or can new microbes spring up?
Oh, you ask a microbiologist the million-dollar question there. these microbes, it's really hard to say. Most of the microbes in terms of length of time that we're talking about have probably existed. Have they existed with their current capabilities? That's a different story. And are we seeing new speciation events probably where we're having organisms that are diverging from what they were in the past because they're under a new environmental condition? So I wouldn't put out of the question that that is occurring. The rate at which that occurs is really not something that we know that well for microorganisms. There are some nice long-term studies looking at that in the lab, but it's hard to know how those rates transfer into like a real life application. The other thing here too is that as Val said, the infrastructure issues, you know, is certainly on the sewer and sewage side is huge as well. I think the Civil Environmental Engineering Society say something like 8% of all wastewater in the United States never makes it to the treatment plant. So that's either through sewer overflows, which we hear a lot about, or through just leaking infrastructure. So we have a number of microbes, as we were talking about earlier, that never actually meet the treatment process, that are disseminated directly from the environment into our waterways in many cases. Here in Milwaukee, we know we have issues related to that. Sandra McClellan's group has shown that something like 30% of our stormwater outfalls receive regular inputs from the sanitary sewer system, likely mainly through leaky infrastructure. And so how these microbes are getting out, where they're getting out, how many of them are coming out, we don't have a good handle on. And then ultimately, as you're suggesting, what happens to them in the environment? That's something that we haven't, only just in the last couple of years, people have been thinking about in this field. And so we really have no clue under what scenarios they thrive, or if all of them just die. I mean, we have no idea if that's a realistic scenario, that some of them may survive or not. If they all just die, then that's a huge, in some ways, food source for the ecosystem. And so you would almost be adding a new component to how an ecosystem works by our urban delivery of microorganisms into that system. So there's so many different things that we don't really know.
So on behalf of all of the homeowners like me who live in a house really old, it's 80 plus years old, pipes break, right? You know, and I more than once have said, gotta call the plumber, you know, we got a issue here, Houston. Are those microbes that we're talking about growing inside the sewer pipes right inside our house, or are we talking about an issue that's only happening somewhere down the street, deep right. underground?
We don't know exactly. I would say some proportion of the organisms that are in the larger conveyance system itself and the pipes are growing in your own pipes at your house. We've done a little—
Oh, great. I'm going to sleep really good tonight.
As long as they don't crawl out.
The good thing is they're going in a direction away from your house.
Okay.
Right? They're not coming back the other way.
I'm not letting my wife listen to this program.
So we don't know exactly, but we have done some studies with the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District to go what we call up the pipe, so into manholes, further and further up the line into neighborhoods. The further we go up the system, the more the microbes, the proportion of microbes that are there are directly from our bodies, essentially. So our fecal waste, our skin, our oral bacteria that we're wasting into the system, a higher and higher percentage of the organisms that we see in the pipes are coming from there. But there's still a significant proportion that's from these organisms that we think are growing in the system. So I guess I would think of it as the longer you get away from the source input of water, the more time there is for these organisms to grow, the more space, the more miles of pipes, you get more of those organisms there.
Although, Val, as you point out, with these 100-year floods coming perhaps every 5 or 10 years now, that's led to backups. Terrific a job, and I think MMSD, Metropolitan Sewage District, really does do an amazing job. Mother Nature sometimes just overwhelms systems, and we do have basement backups occasionally, and that, again, that backwash could be bringing some really bad things into your home.
Yeah. The other thing to think about this environment and these sewer pipes is that in many respects it's a new environment because of what is coming into it. So you think about everything that you eat, secrete, run down the disposal, goes into the sewer system, and that includes not just antibiotics but all the other drugs and things we take. And so the environment that these organisms are living in is very unique because the concentrations of things like antibiotics and other pharmaceuticals is much higher in that pipe than it is probably anywhere else. And so if an organism is evolving to live in that kind of environment, it's exposed to high concentrations of antibiotics and develops that resistance. So that it's an interesting and relatively new, I would say, environment. And the organisms evolving there are probably pretty unique in that respect.
Val, you mentioned you've studied a lot of or spent a lot of time studying the water supply chain, those pipes that are bringing the fresh water in. But you mentioned that the decontaminants that are used in the treatment process break down over a period of time. Do we know how long it takes for bad bacteria or bad microbes to begin populating those freshwater supply pipes?
I don't know, but they do. And of course, they test the system to make sure that the water at the furthest end of the chain in your home is still safe to drink. And so we
shouldn't be scaring people.
Not at all. As I said, I think Milwaukee's probably got one of the safest water distribution systems in the country for sure.
Yeah, but as you travel, it is just a thought to keep in mind. If you're in an older city where you know that there are infrastructure issues, one can presume that there may be a greater risk there.
Yeah. You don't have to go. I mean, if you travel abroad at all to some parts of this world, you recognize quickly that you don't drink the tap water. You don't drink the tap. Everybody drinks bottled water, and there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, we have friends who just got back from India who said that, there were bottles of water everywhere.
Yeah.
If you could afford it. Of course, the challenge is in a world where you have an unequal distribution of resources, there are a lot of people who don't have any choice.
Right. It's a huge challenge globally to supply drinking water to people. Not only just the quality of the water, but actually the quantity. There are some places in the world where there's virtually not enough water, period, to drink.
Yeah. Ryan, just a few minutes left. Where do you see your research going? What more do you hope to discover as you look at these microbe colonies inside our pipes?
Yeah. We'd really like to understand a little bit more about the ecosystem itself. I'm a microbial ecologist at heart, so I like to think about time and space and where things are living and why they're living there. So certainly understanding why certain organisms are doing well in these pipes, what gives them that advantage, what genes are conferring their particular advantage in the systems, what those organisms are they surviving once they get out into the environment, what environmental conditions, add to that proliferation. But then there's also an interesting side of all this work in the monitoring side. There was just a publication a week or two ago from a World Health Organization affiliated group that is using sewage as a surveillance tool, in this case for antibiotic resistance. They just published this paper doing a global study of antibiotic resistance from the sewer system itself as a way to assess where are the most concerning resistant organisms emerging. And so sewage provides a great opportunity to be able to look at things like that because it's non-invasive. You don't have to sample people, get approval, and all those sort of things. There's sewer pipes all over the world. And so it provides a really nice opportunity to create a global monitoring system. And so certainly we're looking at those sort of ideas as well. Can we use sewers and technology and sensors to monitor genes or particular organisms that might be a problematic in the future and do that in sort of a real-time scenario.
Val, you have to be incredibly proud hearing Ryan, a member of your faculty, discuss the work that he's doing. It really is what makes the School of Freshwater Science a jewel here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's true. So we're, as you said in your opening remarks, we're the only School of Freshwater Sciences in the country. We're a research intensive school, so we're part of the whole R1 footprint for the university as a whole. Our scientists are studying issues like this, but they're also involved in Great Lakes research and fisheries research, a whole variety of things.
Well, we wish both of you continued success in your research, and I'm just not going to think the next time I flush. At least I won't think too much. I'll just be really happy that it's moving in that direction, and I'm not.
Right. Well, in a good way.
That's good.
Ryan Newton, assistant professor, and Val Klum, professor, and also dean of the School of Freshwater Sciences, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.